From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Vote counts continue in key states across the country as the presidential election results hang in the balance. Today, we turn to guest experts from three states who've been closely following events. Ana Dennis is the executive director of Common Cause Georgia. Huwaida Araf is a Palestinian-American lawyer and human rights activist, co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement, and also the former chair of the Free Gaza Movement. And Nicholas O'Rourke from Philadelphia is a pastor, former city council candidate, and Pennsylvania organizing director of the Working Families Party. Welcome to the program, all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nicholas, let me start with you. You are in Philadelphia. You are outdoors right now. You have been outdoors for a while, and we want to get a report from you before your phone battery dies. Tell me what you've been doing in Philadelphia, and why is it taking so long for Pennsylvania's votes to be counted?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on tonight. Yes, it is true, as you can probably see and hear, I am outside. We are standing outside of the Pennsylvania Convention Center at 11th to 12th and Arch, where the votes currently are still being tabulated inside. There's many of us who are dancing with joy in our hearts, which is an expression of resistance to the counter protesters that are trying to stop the vote count here in Philadelphia. But the reason why these many Trump supporters and supporters of the president are out trying to stop the vote count is really interesting to us, because the reason why it's taking so long is because Republicans actually stopped any efforts to have early voting, early counting or tabulation of those votes prior to Election Day. We knew heading into this global pandemic that it was going to have a major effect on the electoral process in Philadelphia. We saw it during the primary earlier in the year, and we knew that we needed more time to be able to have a timely count completed. Unfortunately, the lawsuit that the Republican Party put forward was successful in keeping us from being able to count any earlier than 7 a.m. on Election Day. That having been said, we do know that as around 9:30 this morning, there were just under 200,000 votes that remained to be counted. And many of them are right here in the city of Philadelphia, which is a very left-leaning or Democratic city. And so we're very confident that in the coming hours, or maybe even day or so, that we'll get to a resolution.
Right. Pennsylvania had showed Trump ahead of Biden because, of course, there was so much of a backlog of those early Democratic heavy votes left to be counted. What have the Trump supporters been saying? Have you been talking to any of them? I would love to know, when they say stop counting the votes, what exactly do they mean?
Well, that's a great question. I have not spent my energy having conversations with them. Their commitment is to stop the vote. Our commitment is to make sure that every vote is counted. That has been our tagline. That remains to be our tagline. That's our motto and our creed. Count every single vote, every single solitary one of them. And they will be counted. I do know that there are those who suggest that somehow in a largely black and brown city, Philadelphia is the poorest big city in the country, and also not by any coincidence, 51% of the population are people of color. 48 to 49% are black folks. And to be in a city like this, where there are those who are literally questioning the legitimacy, the validity of legitimately casted ballots, just harkens back to what we already know, the deep racism that is true to this country, and to those who think it's more important for us to appease the feelings of the current sitting president as opposed to honor the voice of the people. So I'm not quite sure what all the reasons are, but those are some of the things that we've been hinted to.
I want to go to Michigan next to speak with Huwaida Araf. Huwaida, you have been at the polls on Election Day. Michigan is another one of those places where Trump supporters have been very active. In fact, they had been gathering outside the TCF Center in Detroit, where vote counting was happening. At one point, they even broke inside. I understand that there, too, they're asking people to stop counting the votes. But it looks like Michigan is going for Biden, right? I mean, it's basically been called by news outlets.
Yes, that is exactly right. Our governor has also congratulated Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on the win. It looks indisputable. Almost 150,000 votes more went to Biden than to Trump and Pence. And that is such a blowout from 4 years ago, when Hillary Clinton just narrowly lost by less than 11,000 votes. And what we had 4 years ago was a lot of people that went to the polls to vote, but did not vote top ticket because they were did not like either candidate, and we saw what happened as a result of that. So people were really taking their vote very seriously. I worked at one of the polling centers, as you noted, all day in Macomb County, which is a Republican county, and we did not have any problems. We did not have any protesters. It went very smoothly, and I was quite worried about that because, you know, the courts here overturned the Secretary of State's order. She had issued an order disallowing weapons at the polling stations, and the court overturned that. So there was quite a fear that there would be some voter intimidation. But the polling station that I was at went very smoothly. We saw the protesters pretty very obnoxious, loud, and almost violent protesters at the TCF Center, which is in Detroit, one of the blackest cities in the nation. Those are the votes that they want to stop. They want to stop the counting of those votes. President Trump did challenge, and there was a hearing today in the Michigan Court of Claims, and it was dismissed. Basically, Trump wanted to challenge the vote count and stop it here, claiming that there wasn't enough access to poll monitors. But the Court of Claims Judge Cynthia Stevens dismissed that, saying she really can't any longer grant the relief that the Trump team is requesting, because the vote count is done and there are no irregularities that can be shown. The Trump team tried to give one or two examples, but they were they had absolutely no proof. And we're pretty confident here that everything went just very smoothly, except for the rioters on the Republican side, unfortunately, that we had in Detroit, trying to stop the counting of largely Black and Brown votes.
Let's go now to Georgia, where Anna Dennis is joining us from, and she is the executive director of Common Cause Georgia. Georgia, the state that might have had Governor Stacey Abrams as a Republican in charge. Georgia is also the place where the state where there could actually be a pathway for some very marginal Senate control for Democrats. Anna, what is the situation in Georgia right now in terms of votes left to be counted?
So thank you for having me tonight. So in Georgia, Georgia's definitely on everyone's mind. We are uniquely positioned in this moment. And as being a Georgian, I never would have thought in the last 20 years that we would actually be here in this moment. But this is very monumental for Georgians and for progressives who are champions for democracy. So in Georgia, we narrowly have only like 40,000 votes that are still out there left to be counted. They are still counting rapidly, and even there were counties that were counting overnight. Their margin is so small. It's like a 1% margin, actually less than 1%. As of now, we've had over, I think the number is 4.2 million voters vote in this past election. 2 million of those voters actually requested a vote by mail ballot, and 1.5 million of those voters actually voted in person during early voting. So this cycle, we have seen our numbers really skyrocket in participation. But I think that is a testament to what happened in our gubernatorial race in 2018 and how so many people felt like their votes were disenfranchised and their votes wasn't counted. So with Common Cause Georgia, we are making sure that we can have every vote count, because that's what democracy needs, and that's what the Georgians here, that's what we want, and that's what we deserve, just to have a fair, equitable access to the ballot. So we are still counting ballots. We're making sure that we can cure those ballots and also contact those voters who potentially voted provisionally as well. So we are on the ground, we're still on the move, we're observing the process, and we are ready to make sure that every vote counts in Georgia and that we can take a hold of our democracy here.
I want to turn back to Nicholas O'Rourke joining us from Philadelphia. Nicholas, what is the math in terms of how Pennsylvania has changed from 4 years ago? This is a critically important state for Democrats and Republicans. It's also, you're also in a city that has been racked by police violence in recent days, and where the Black Lives Matter movement has been incredibly active. And I imagine that that's also playing a role and is on people's minds.
I think it's important to note that anytime that we mention what has happened recently, that we always mention the name of our fallen brother.
Like,
we call him Lil Walt. His name is Walter Wallace Jr. We say his name. Just this past Monday, he was murdered at the hands of two police officers. His family called really for an ambulance. He was known to have a number of mental health challenges, and he was a danger to himself and to others. And they were needing some help, an ambulance, someone to come help him with the case. In less than 40 seconds upon officers arriving to the scene, they put, I count, at least 10 to 15 bullets in his body and ended his life in front of his mother. And so in no small part, is that playing into the spirit and the energy in this moment. We stand in solidarity with our comrades who are a part and organized with Black Lives Matter Philly, the Black Philly Radical Collective, and all others as well. And we've already put forward many demands, so several demands about what we want. The tapes were released recently. We're looking to make sure that there's no increased funding for the police department. We already have nearly a $1 billion budget here in Philadelphia, about $800 million or so. And we're asking for no increased funding for meaningless reforms. We need to make sure that the officers that have murdered Walter Wallace Jr. are fired immediately. And also we put mechanisms in place to be able to handle situations that are concerning mental health. This is the reason why so many have called for a divest invest model, what is popularly known as defund the police, to make sure that we can actually invest into structures that are going to help support and bring about not just law enforcement, but actual public safety for our people. That having been said, what we did see in 2016 was Donald Trump win the Commonwealth of PA by 44,242 votes. We know that's a small margin. When you look at a place like Philadelphia, which is the economic engine of the Commonwealth and the major part of the electoral block, how are you? You see that 40,000 votes is something that you can pull out of North Philadelphia or South Philadelphia alone if the people show up to vote. And so what we have found is that there's been a lot of work that myself and many others are part of the Working Families Party have done to help get increased voter turnout. Because we know that the path to the White House and really any seat here in this city across the Commonwealth or as high as the federal courts or the federal office is through Black communities, the same ones that are deeply impacted by what we just saw in the last weekend, other examples of police brutality and the carceral system that we see in this country. And so we have seen a major increase in voter turnout. That the swing voters aren't the only folks that are swinging back and forth between Democrat and Republicans. They're those who are quiet and you either vote for someone that a Democrat they're inspired by or not voting at all. Well, this year they showed up and they're showing out. And we're looking to make sure that every single one of their votes are counted because we believe it's going to render a result for Joe Biden.
And Nicholas, it sounds as though Pennsylvania's results will be out tonight. We were talking just a few hours from now, possibly any minute. And we're now hearing that President Trump apparently plans to address the nation tonight. So there may be a lot of attention on Philadelphia. Are you hearing anything about whether the final vote counts are going to, which, as you said, Philadelphia is one of the last place left to count votes. Are you expecting that all to happen very soon?
Yeah, we believe that it should. To be clear, from the very beginning, we already knew that it was going to be a long time for us to be able to get votes counted, considering there was so much resistance to being able to count those votes prior to Election Day, the ones that we already had. So this is just playing out as we always understood. We've needed a couple of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, depending on how voter turnout panned out. And so, yes, we fully expect at this point, I think just under 100,000 votes left to count, maybe even significantly less. I haven't got the immediate numbers, but it could be tonight, could be sometime in the morning, but we'll be drawing this thing home to a close real soon.
I want to turn back to Huwaida Araf. There were there's been so much disinformation, Huwaida, by Trump and from Trump and his family members and supporters around, I guess there's wishful thinking on their part that there's massive voter fraud or pro-Trump votes are being destroyed or that pro-Biden votes are being faked or generated. There was one particularly in Michigan that the president tweeted that Michigan mysteriously gained 138,000 votes. I mean, all of this, of course, has a deep impact on people's trust in the system. Did you hear about this particular rumor that apparently was debunked?
Yes, I did hear about it. And, it was a minor glitch that was almost immediately remedied. But Trump had already jumped on it, tweeted about it, contributing to the mask misinformation that we saw months before the election and that is continuing after the election to the vote counting and that may sadly continue after. And it is part of, you know, when Trump doesn't want the will of the people to come through, he wants kind of the will of the people who can protest and scream and lie and lead people astray, the strongest. And that is kind of what we're fighting, because elections should be determined by the will of the people. And that's what I think election officials are trying so hard to do. I know the people that I worked with on election day, we did not know each other. Were we Democrat? Were we Republican? And it just a complete professionalism until the polls closed after, in the counting, certifying, I mean, turning everything in, and then going home, knowing that we did our civic duty, no matter what our personal point of view was. And I know I was explaining the ballot to people I knew were going to be voting Trump, which is not what I wanted, but without showing anything, I was helping them.
That's democracy, right?
What
that's
they had to do. That is democracy, yeah. Whether we like it or not. And I wanted to also chime in also on what was being said about the number of organizations and Black-led organizations, minority-led organizations that have been doing so much to get the vote out. It has been incredible. I have been part of a number of them and really overwhelmed at how much work they're doing. And we saw in Michigan also historic numbers, 5.5 million people voted. Also Palestinian and Arab Americans, we know at least 81,000 Arab Americans in Michigan voted early.
And actually, I want to ask you whether Rashida Tlaib's re-election campaign helped to energize the votes. Anna, Dennis was talking about Stacey Abrams' gubernatorial bid having re-energized voters in Georgia. Did Rashida Tlaib's, you know, presence and the fact that she was on the ballot also bring out voters?
I don't know if it was her presence on the ballot, but I know it has a lot to do with the work that she did, her and a team of volunteers, just unstoppable until election day. Her personally, she was knocking on doors and months before calling, making sure people know how to get absentee ballots, making sure people get registered to vote. So really, I firmly believe, although I don't have any hard, you know, empirical evidence, but I firmly believe that a big part of that, the number of people that turned out for Joe Biden was due to the work of Rashida and her team.
Let's turn back to Georgia, where Anna Dennis is with us. The Senate races, I think, are important to discuss. So Georgia's two Republican senators, what are the chances, first of all, that both will end? Well, we know that one, Senator Loeffler is going to be in a runoff in January with the second race. Last I checked, Perdue, Senator Perdue was right at 50%, and Georgia's one of those strange states where you have to get at least 50% of the vote or you are in a runoff. What are the chances that both Senate races will have a runoff in January? And then if that does happen, what are the chances that the Democrats could actually pull off wins in both of them?
Yeah, so we are, you know, we're looking at most likely having two Senate races. And we know that the Reverend Warnock race is going to run off in January, and we're keeping a close eye on the other race as well. The margin is so small.
And I know, just for our audience, Anna, Dennis's child is with her, as all working parents are now having their children with us. So, we'll just deal with it and continue. Go ahead. You were saying, Anna? All right, we'll turn back to Anna in just a moment to get some more information about that. Those two races in the Senate in Georgia. I want to just finally ask Nicholas before we say goodbye to you, because I know that you are outdoors right now. Any final thoughts to our audience about what you're feeling in Philadelphia? I mean, some people were disappointed that Biden didn't have a complete blowout, but where the popular vote is concerned, he did have a complete blowout. It's just the Electoral College system is why we are sitting here waiting on tenterhooks for Pennsylvania's vote, right?
Absolutely. I think for quite literally, this is a blowout. We see that that soon-to-be President-elect Joe Biden has actually gotten more received more votes in the popular vote than I guess any other candidate in American history. And so that is not any small win. That's a major victory. We believe that here in Pennsylvania, we're on track that once all the votes are done and over with, that he will win the Commonwealth, and we think he'll win by 70,000-80,000 votes.
Well, I want to thank you.
So we're looking forward to that.
Thank you so much, Nicholas. Good luck to you. Anna, last thoughts on those questions around the Senate races in Georgia?
Yeah, so we are keeping a close eye. When we finish the count, potentially tonight, we will know more if we're going to run off, but it looks like we're definitely going to go in runoff. It'll definitely shift our Senate nationally.
And I'm actually looking right now, New York Times is saying David Perdue's vote share has fallen to 49.9%. So unless that changes, there will be a runoff.
Yep, we are going definitely to runoff. And now our next goal is to make sure that we can continue to get these ballots counted, to make sure that we can chase these provisional ballots. And then also making sure we get people back out to the polls on January 5th to make sure that all our ballots are counted and democracy wins in Georgia.
Maybe we'll have you back on in January then. Thank you all so much for joining us today. My guests have been Anna Dennis, Executive Director of Common Cause Georgia, Huwaida Araf, Palestinian American lawyer and human rights activist, and Nicholas O'Rourke, who is Pennsylvania Organizing Director of the Working Families Party, joining us from Philadelphia. We've been discussing the latest vote counts in key states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Back in just a moment.